Welcome to The Spirit of Chester County, a program which introduces you to Catholics in Chester County and the western suburbs who are making a difference with the Catholic faith. Now with this week's guest, here's Lloyd Broach on The Spirit of Chester County.
I have never been here. That is, I've never been in the monastery of Villanova University, or I'm going to learn probably what the real name of this building is. But many of you, maybe me included, have been by Villanova a million times. You've known people who have gone to school here. You know about their basketball team. You know about their football team. You know about their engineering program, their library science program. But I never really understood how the faculty and maybe some of the retired clerical staff live. So today I got the real opportunity of coming to Villanova University and meeting a very engaging fellow named Father George McGee, who I just had the pleasure to meet for the very first time. So first of all, Father McGee, I want to welcome you for taking the time to do this. And we did it at the last minute, and I really, really appreciate that very much.
Thank you. And it's awfully nice to have you here at the monastery in Villanova. It's a great honor for us, the Augustinians, and for the church in this area. This monastery has been a significant part of the church. And so as our visit progresses, maybe we can get into that a little.
I would very much like to do that. And I'd first like to learn a little bit about how Father McGee got to be Father McGee. I understand you're originally from Ardmore, Montgomery County. Are you a native local boy here? Or are you
local boy, Ardmore. I grew up in Ardmore on Linwood Avenue. And the choice, basically, I'm going to put a little humor, but there is some truth to it. Often over the years, I've said I would either land up in the priesthood or in jail. And why I say that is that a legacy that I received from my father, especially, is really the gift of conversation, of gab, and of making a nice, honest deal. So... But I always wanted to be a priest. I can remember hearing a story from my mother when I told the neighborhood that I was going to consider going into the priesthood. Well, half were in jubilation and others dropped over in shock. And that's fine. And the story started to come out. And my mother said, I remember you as a child. My grandfather had built the house and had one of these porches that circled the house. I loved the porch. And on the side, I took one of my sister's toys, as it were. It was like kind of a hutch. And I made it an altar and a tabernacle. And I would have mass there. I'm like 6 years old. And my mother used to love to tell the story that you would go through and it would come to the Our Father. And then when it came to the Our Father, you gave to the instructions to those people that did not know it, that if you did not know it at the next time we do this, that I would beat you up.
I call that
missionary
Catholicism in action. Sure, right. Depending upon your.
But I always had this great love of the priest, and I got that from my father. My father was a mailman, and I helped him deliver mail a lot. And as we went through the neighborhood, he was well known. He was I believe he was a real disciple of the gospel. He really was the laity in action and holiness of life. I really believe he. You know, he typified that and gave me great stories and great examples and all that. But I always remember whenever he saw a priest or a nun, there was great reverence. Mm. You know, that here's Father Kelly, who was beloved, and the different sisters that was the Sisters of St. Joseph in Chestnut Hill, that he had almost a worship that they would walk on the street and he would stop. And you knew something special was happening. And I picked that up as a kid. Yeah. You know, so I always had this love of the priesthood, and then I went into adolescence, which is always different. I don't think we want to get too much into those stories. And then I landed up at Bonner High School, and it was in its second year. I was in the second class, and the Augustinians were teaching there. And when I was there, there were three Piarist fathers that were teaching there who had come from Hungary, who were going to learn a little about the rudimentary stuff of Catholic education in this country and then go off and begin a school. And that turned out to be Devon Prep, which you are a graduate of.
Right.
So we have some connection here.
I never knew about the Bonner connection.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to imagine those Hungarian priests at Bonner. tough place like Drexel Hill. And I was I can't even get my head around that.
It was tough. It was tough. They bit the bullet and you know, did it. And it was difficult because it was a big language thing and a cultural thing. So on a Monday, I believe it was a Monday, the chaplain, Father Marr, Joe Marr, had said that he was going to visit with every senior in the senior year. He wanted to talk with each senior. And that involved, in those days, about 850 kids. Mm. And he stepped up to the plate and did it. So I was in, I can still remember it, I was in Problems of Democracy with Father Mullen, who was a secular priest. And my name was called, and I said, well, at least I could have the class for a bit. So I go out, and we're talking. And he said to me, George, did you ever think of the priesthood? I said, oh, all through my life I had. He said, how come you never moved on it? And I said, well, I never moved on it because you people never moved on it.
So what year were you in at Bonner when this happened?
This was 1958.
But were you a junior? Or?
I was a senior.
A senior, okay.
Yeah, a senior.
Okay.
And he says, really? I said, well, I didn't think it was that big of a deal. If it wasn't a big deal to you, why would it be a big deal for me? I mean, but now that you say it, I'm interested. And then I said, that doesn't mean you're going to haunt me every day, right? I mean, I'm going to have some elbow room in this. And that began my journey with the Augustinians. I knew that I did not want to be a diocesan priest. And the main reason for that was that diocesan for me meant parish, and at that point I wanted to teach.
Right.
And I knew the Augustinians had places internationally all through the world, and I said, this will be my chance to leave Ardmore, you know, to see the world in a larger way.
Since you should mention that, when I was in school, grade school, we saw a movie about the Maryknolls, and I remember thinking, I was like in seventh grade, thinking, now how cool is this? You get to leave town, right. And you get to go to these exotic places.
Yeah, it is great.
So I was thinking maybe the same thing was running through your mind.
And it cemented it, because when I had expressed the interest, Father Moore directed me to come here to Villanova, which was the main seminary in the vocation office. I met this lovely priest, Father John Coffey, who was really a character, quite a preacher, quite a guy. He had a degree in speech and drama, so he's kind of electric. Right. And he said to me, so you're interested in being an Augustinian? I said, yes, Father, I am. And I happened to see on the table a pamphlet that said, see the OSA and the USA.
Great
slogan. So that kind of clinched the thing.
Boy, they still have that? That's a great line.
I think I have a...
no, but do the Augustinians still use it?
No, it's a little
they
bit more,
should.
It's a little bit more sophisticated.
Oh, I like it. I think it's great.
No, but I remember him saying to me, George, I want to... And he's working the whole time doing whatever he did. He was in the seminary guild, so he really knew how to multitask even in those days. So he was doing this. But he put this question to me, which I never forgot. He says, I want to put an example to you. Say you're ordained, you're a young priest, and you're in the pulpit, and in the middle of the pulpit, this lady comes up, and who's very, very attractive and very put together. What would you do? And I said, well, what I believe I would do is I would kind of check her out and continue with the sermon. He said, I think you should go to the novitiate. So I kind of got my imprimatur, and that's...
Our guest is Father George McGee, and I must say, I've never heard a story like that on this show. Yeah, that's great. We're visiting Father McGee at the Augustinian residence here at Villanova University, and I was going to ask you what it's like to be an Augustinian, but I think you just told me. So you go through the seminary.
Right.
What do Augustinians do after they leave the seminary? Do they go to other Augustinian places like Villanova and your other missions around the world, or what happens?
Well, when I was ordained, the majority, there were four of us that went up the street. I was in D.C., Washington, D.C. That was the theology. Our education was to get a bachelor's degree, to get a master's in theology, and another degree, because most of us, if not all, were going to teach.
Right.
So to go in with the appropriate credentials and all that. So that's what all we did. And I went up to teach, and most of the people did. I have one classmate, Father Mike Sullivan, who went to a parish. He always wanted to be a parish priest. And is a very notable national and international preacher today. He's well known. He was big in the marriage encounter. And, but most of us went there and went to our own places. And in those days, our own places were Archbishop Carroll High School in Washington, D.C., the Monsignor Bonner in Drexel Hill, Malvern Prep in Malvern, PA. There's a place in Vineland, New Jersey, St. Augustine's Prep. And those days we had a college in Miami, Biscayne College, certainly here at Villanova, and we still have a college in New England, Merrimack College in North Andover. In those days, we were just taking leave of Cuba. We had been in Cuba for years, but we had taken leave of that. Castro threw us out. We have a lot of parishes in upstate New York, in New England, in we have a few places in North Carolina, and we have places in Florida. We have missions in Japan, in Africa, and Peru.
If my memory serves me correctly, I think my dad's parish was an Augustinian parish, St. Denis in Havertown.
Saint
was
Dennis.
That not a
St.
Yeah,
Denis?
I thought so,
not
right?
Now. We gave
but it was then. This is
for years. It, yeah. It was originally a mission from here at Villanova.
I see.
Villanova, in the old language of the church, is considered the mother house. This is where the heart of the order was in the country. So it was started as a small liberal arts college in 1842, basically to educate young men who would be interested in the priesthood, but to pay the bills, really. They brought in other students, and it was this small small liberal arts college.
You're listening to The Spirit of Chester County here at 1420 WCOJ and 1570 WISP. My guest is Father George McGee of the Augustinian Order. And when we come back, we're going to learn more about the Augustinians, the order, their mission, and what they're doing right now in 2012 as The Spirit of Chester County continues.
The law firm of Wisinnick, Brogan, and Stanzione supports Holy Spirit Radio over WCOJ. Wisinnick, Brogan, and Stanzione can help you with personal injury, disability, work injury, or medical negligence. Representing the communities of Chester and Berks counties and beyond with the highest ethical standards and professional excellence. Wisinnick, Brogan, and Stanzione is proud to support Coatesville Spotlight over WCOJ. You can reach Wisinnick, Brogan, and Stanzione at 610-594-1600 or on the World Wide Web at wisinnickbrogan.com.
You're listening to The Spirit of Chester County right here on 1420 WCOJ and 1570 WISP, Holy Spirit Radio for the Philadelphia area. My name is Lloyd Roach, and my guest is a fascinating guest today, Father George McGee from the Augustinian Order. We've had an awfully good time talking with him. And Father McGee, you said something to me during the break that I just want to cover with you. You said you love being a priest.
I do.
And you've loved being a priest ever since you've been ordained.
I have, absolutely.
So,
yeah, absolutely.
You still having fun with this?
I am. You have to learn how to adjust in the best sense of the word. Can I give you an example? For years, I taught in the high school system and loved doing it. I loved doing it. And then there was a time where the provincial, who's our religious superior, said, I'm going to send you to a parish in upstate New York. My friend said, oh, they'll have to, you know, kind of mug you to get out of the high school work you want. I said, I took a vow of obedience as a reasonable request. Of course I'll go. I'll miss the teaching. So I'm going from the known to the unknown. And I said, you know, God will provide, and, you know, I'll go and I'll give it my best shot. So here's this Irish kid, George McGee, right? And I land up in an Italian national parish. The pastor was this Father Sullivan I was talking about, who's a classmate. Father Galogli, who's another Irishman, and Father Campbell. Four Irishmen in an Italian parish. And the first parish council, people were asking me about this, that, and the other thing. And I said, and there were all the Italian ladies up front, right? They're going to come and see who the new priest is, right? And so they're asking questions, very legitimate questions. And my basic response really was at that point, I don't know. Not less so, I don't know. And after a while, this Mrs. Scambatti, she says, oh, my God, they sent an idiot to us. And I said, you know what I need? I said, if you want me to start a high school here and run it, I know how to do that. Today, I don't know really how to be a parish priest, so I'm going to ask you folks who have been parishioners of this parish for over 100 years, your family, right. Teach me how to be a priest of a parish. And they did.
That's a great story. You know? How long were you there?
I was there 9 months, and it was the best assignment I ever had. You know, I would go shopping with the housekeeper who was in the habit, the whole thing, and you know, Father Campbell, God be good to him, would say, you've only been here a couple months, how do you know all these people? I said, because I don't stay inside. You know, they'll come for a mass card, and this is all legitimate. They'll come for a mass card, and they'll come when times are very, very tough and find life difficult and all that, and it's appropriate. Come and show yourself to the priest and ask the priest sure. to guide you. That's very appropriate. But the majority of the people you would not meet in the rectory living room.
Right.
So I made the decision, much like my father as a mailman, that's where I got the idea, walk through the neighborhood. Worked for him. He was beloved and knew people and did this act of kindness and all that. So I was only really mirroring the example of my father, who wasn't talking about Christ in those days, and I came to that through my own spiritual growth. So it was a nice marriage of the example of my father and the gospel, and no regrets.
But you also said before we went on the air, it's also what the Nazarene did.
Right, exactly.
So he worked the crowd.
He talked, yeah, right. He told stories.
Sure.
He touched, and he claimed the fear of people.
Right.
And that combination with little tweaks here and there is a great combination to tell the story, to tell it, you know, appropriately, always with humor. That's my Irish. That will always happen. And to draw people into the story and hopefully into the mystery of the love of Christ for his exquisite people, the people of God.
Our guest is Augustinian Father George McGee. We are here at the Villanova campus talking to Father McGee. And Father, I understand that you went later to, of all places, California.
Right.
Now, how big a cultural shock is that? Over Ardmore, South Philly, and your surroundings? I mean.
Well, you know, I really must admit that it was not. And I believe this is the reason. I've often said this. I've said this from the pulpit. I go to on weekend work to St. Peter and Paul in Westchester, East Goshen. And one time I said, you know, if I were in school today, I would probably be on Ritalin. You know, I'm kind of a hyper person and active in the whole thing. And California always attracted me through the movies and stories and all that. And my mother was elderly when she died and the whole thing. And I said, I will stay in the East. It's no cross. I'll stay in the East where I belong with taking care of my mother and the whole thing. I said, when she dies, I'm going to California. So things worked out within the order. And I asked the provincial if I could go to California. And he said, yes. So I went out there and I worked in the drug and alcohol field. You know, so I have all these certificates and all this stuff, licensing.
Where were you in California?
In Los Angeles.
Went into the thick.
In Hollywood.
Hollywood.
We have a parish.
You certainly know lack of drugs and alcohol there.
No, not at all. Didn't see any. You know, had to go over into the valley. You know, but it is what it is. You know, God is just an amazing person that he puts you in the place where he can get the most bang for his buck, you know. And I was there, and I'm a bit of a talker, and you know, I just get up one day. I really believe this is what discipleship is about: the value of the gospel, the love of Jesus, making the decision in the day, and putting one foot in front of the other, and the Lord will fill in the rest. He'll send people to cross your path, and it just might be a hello, and it might be this thing of helping them with the beginnings of dealing with addiction or whatever. And I've been deeply, you know, it sounds so corny, I think. Some people always say, well, he's saying that because he's a priest.
Right.
I'm saying it because I absolutely believe it. It's exquisite to live according to the gospel and following this person, Christ, in the modern age, in a very complicated world, in a very complicated world. And I just think he's the answer. He's really the answer.
There's a lot of talk today, though, about the cultural war between the secular competition and that of the teaching of the Catholic Church. You hear it all the time. And, of course, we're living it right now in the Archdiocese in Philadelphia. And did you find that work in California rewarding for you?
Very rewarding. Yeah. It's, you know, people always knew who I was, knew I was a Catholic priest, and went into all kinds of environments. Some initially seemed to be hostile. And I remember an old Irish aunt I had, Aunt Rose, who I really didn't like as a child. You know, in my more mature years, I've come to a fondness for her, right? And she had this saying, kill them with kindness.
Yeah.
And as a kid, I never really knew all the nuances of that. As I've gotten older, she's right on the money. So you go with what you believe. You don't go with this thing of trying to put your foot on somebody's neck to convince them. Mm. It's much like Mother Teresa. Mother Teresa believes, as your audience knows, well knows better than I do probably, that she walked out the front door of her convent in Calcutta and saw what she saw. And she says, I can't do the world, but I can do my front porch, my step. And each day she made the decision to include the person who was not included in her life. And in a moment of history, a very hostile world decided to give her the Nobel Prize. Now, why did that happen? Because she was constant and consistent and prayerful and playful with Christ, her friend, and not ashamed or timid to proclaim by what she did more than by what she said, but she wasn't afraid to say what she was about. And she won the world over for a second.
The most hysterical television interview I have ever witnessed is when Mike Wallace of 60 Minutes went to Calcutta to interview Mother Teresa. And she's walking through this thing, and I think that Mike Wallace is trying to show that she's obviously a saintly woman, but her task is really unreachable.
Right.
And she, he turned to her and he says, well, how do you do this? And she said, Mike, you're rich. Why don't you give some money to us and we can do more? I almost fell off the chair. I thought that was the greatest answer. It was like she had gone to communication school and learned the age-old method of always give them the answer to which you wanted to be half-assed.
Right.
And that's exactly what she did.
Right.
And Wallace was totally dumbstruck. He didn't know what to do. They probably had to stop the tape and start over. It was hysterical. I couldn't believe they aired it. But it's just what you just said. You get focused on the front doorstep.
And another great story, right?
Yeah. It's a great story.
It's always the story. Pull the person into the story. Because I'm a great believer, you know, that different people that I've met that are some very, very exceptional people are people just like me. So I have to figure out what my gifts are and fine-tune them and use them and enjoy them for the good of other people and for my own holiness. And it's that simple and that tough.
Our guest is Father McGee, Father George McGee of the Augustinian Order, and we're in Villanova. Where else to be talking to an Augustinian?
Right.
Father, we have just a few minutes left, and I would like to talk a little bit about the overall mission of the Augustinians. Do they have one defined out there in Augustinian land, or is it?
There's a mission statement. I really can't give it to you, but it's basically always about community, the community of faith, which involves the Augustinian himself or herself. We have a groups of contemplative sisters, and our charism is to proclaim the gospel. Our main venue these days to do that is in education and service. We have missions in this province. The order is international and divided through the world as provinces. So the province of St. Thomas of Villanova, with Villanova as the capital, as it were, it'll have these foreign missions, domestic missions, one remaining high school, St. Augustine's Prep in Vineland, New Jersey, Villanova University in Merrimack. So it's a bit of a tapestry, but it's always about trying to pull people into a conversion of life, which was very much the charism of St. Augustine, and to holiness of life, and to empower in the modern world the Catholic layperson in the ministry of the church. So with that as a mind, there's a fairly new organization within the province called the Augustinian Volunteers. They're typically kids that are graduates of college, and for 1 or 2 years they decide to go to different points throughout the Augustinian world to give service for a year.
Do Augustinians walk around this campus and ask the students if they'd like to be an Augustinian?
Regretfully, no. I'm embarrassed to say that, but the truthful answer is that I don't hear much of that. And just to go back to the encounter with Father Marr in 1958, I've often wondered what would have happened if he didn't ask. So occasionally, over my life, I've said, I'm just going to put it out there. I think you make a great priest. Right. Why? And then I would say why, and then just let it go and let the grace of God. So if there's anybody out there in radio land that would like to figure out what this Augustinian way of life is about, feel very free to call me. I don't always return my call in a timely manner, but you can call me and we can yak.
Well, Father, it's a pet peeve of mine because I've talked to a lot of people in your profession. I ask that question because I'm in sales, so we have to constantly ask closing questions. And so we asked that question, and my colleague here, Vince Malagrana, who brought this interview together, we should have credited him on that. Right. Thank you very much, Vince, for doing that. Yes, absolutely, for Vince. But the, you have to be asked. It's like human nature. People want to be asked to do something, and once they are asked, they feel included, and maybe they'll do it. And I don't know how many students you have here, but you have a lot. A lot of them are guys.
And a lot. And it really is a mirroring Christ. I mean, he's walking through the neighborhood,
right,
and he sees these brothers, and one set are twins, and they're with the father, and they're doing the thing, and he said, come follow me. And they dropped the nets. I don't know what the fathers had to say about it, but, they dropped the net and became these exquisite.
Yo, where are you going there?
Hey, get back here. It's not five, And these exquisite apostles of the early church and great saints of our history and our legacy are existent because of their yes. Because we always have, this is a fascinating thing, in this thing of discipleship, we always have the choice to say yes or to say no. And so I say, when we, the Augustinians, walk in the worlds that we walk in, I think we're called to be holy. I think we're called to be joyful, playful, professional, very human, and very approachable, and to hit the sidewalk and to ask some of those questions.
Well, I'm not beyond crass commercialism to try to advocate these evocations. So do the Augustinians have a website? Do you
they
know what
do.
It is?
They do. It would be www.augustinian.net, I believe.
Okay.
But I think a lot of these search engines, if you don't get right off, they'll shift you to
type in Augustinian, I'm sure, in Google or someplace.
Google
you'll get it every time.
Like that.
Father McGee, you have been a delight. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I've enjoyed talking with you. And I really enjoyed talking to you. And maybe if we haven't completely louse us up, maybe you'll invite us back someday. I hope
and
so.
You're always welcome.
And it's because you're really great.
Casa, su casa.
You get. Oh, well, that's nice. Nice Italian words from that Irish guy. So this is great. Father McGee, thank you so much.
Yeah, God
and,
bless you.
Again, thanks to Vince Malagrana, who is my colleague in my business, who connected us. You are a part-time celebrant at this parish, right?
St. Peter and Paul.
Right.
But before we leave, I definitely would like to do this. There's a scene in the New Testament where people are asking Peter for the different gifts, and he said, silver and gold I don't have, but what I do have I give you in the name of Christ. Get up and be healed. So I don't have that as a gift today, but what I would like to share with all your listeners is this incredible blessing of God. It's very simple. And may the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit come down upon you, your families, and all those whom you cherish, and also those people whom you don't like. Amen.
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 For the Spirit of Chester County, this is Lloyd Roach.
You have been listening to The Spirit of Chester County, a program which introduces you to Catholics in Chester County and the western suburbs who are making a difference with the Catholic faith. The Spirit of Chester County is made possible by a generous grant from the law firm of Wasinek, Brogan & Stanzione in Downingtown. Join us again next time on The Spirit of Chester County, right here on 1420 WCOJ and 1570 WISP Holy Spirit Radio for the Delaware Valley.